Psalm 131. We'll read these three verses of this little psalm. I'm sure you've all had the experience of reading through the scriptures and perhaps in particular the psalms, and something strikes you that you've never thought about before. And I must confess that that's the truth with this psalm. And I want to bring to you what the Lord placed upon my heart some days ago for the prayer meeting tonight. So Psalm 131, and it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And we know that God will bless the reading of these verses to all of our hearts. Now, the title indicates for us that the psalm was penned by David. The title is A Song of Degrees of David. So it's one of the songs of degrees. Mr. Stewart did a study on those psalms, there were 15 of them, some time ago in the Bible class, and therefore some of you will be familiar with the group of psalms that this one is a part of, Psalm 131. The Songs of Degrees are a group of psalms that were sung by the Lord's people as they engaged themselves in going up to Jerusalem to worship there, and indeed in the worship that was carried on in that city so long ago. And of course they belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, these psalms, right down through time. In that sense, this group of psalms possesses a very public flavour. Openly and publicly, they were a major feature of the congregation, the praise of the congregation of the Lord. But simultaneously, this psalm, as is the case, of course, throughout the Psalter, has a very personal flavour to it. Spurgeon said this about this psalm in his commentary on the Psalms. He said, it is both by David and of David. He is the author and the subject of it, and many incidents of his life may be employed to illustrate it. And so the psalm has that individualistic flavour to it, even with regard to the writer, David himself, and to the one who's blessed and helped by the psalm. But this psalm is designed to teach the important and the indispensable issue of progress in spirituality and in growth and grace. That is found in verse number 2, and that's the verse that really gripped my mind, and especially the last words of that verse. And I'll just read them at this moment. My soul is even as a weaned child. A weaned child. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now, the weaned child is no longer living on the milk of life, but has progressed to a diet that is indicative of growth and progress in appetite. That physical development, therefore, illustrates what is clearly revealed to be the will of God for his people, for the believer, namely, spiritual growth and spiritual development. That is presented very much in the Word of God, that we are to progress, that we are to grow, and so forth. You think of what Peter said to his readers, first of all, in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, where he said to those who were actually new converts, not long saved, he said, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And of course, a little newborn babe grows and develops on the mother's milk and then progresses on from there. But that's what Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And yet in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he says there those great words, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so there's to be development. We can't stay in the milk. In other words, we've got to progress, we've got to get on to the strong meat of the Word in order to develop and to grow in our spiritual lives. You may remember that Paul had to chide or scold the Hebrew believers because this was a fault on their part in that they were still on the milk and not on the strong meat. That's in Hebrews 5. We'll not turn to it now for time's sake. But in Hebrews 5, toward the end of the chapter, he's dealing with Melchizedek. And he speaks to the Hebrew believers about the fact that they lack understanding. And it's because, he says, you're on the milk. You haven't got to the strong meat. And the words there that are in the negative sense in that manner of speaking, that is, he chides them, he scolds them, it's a negative kind of language, but it bears out the thought that they should have progressed, because we can't stay on the milk. We've got to keep moving on, because it is the will of God that we grow and that we develop. And so from David's statement here, my soul is even as a weaned child. There is presented to us the goal to which every Christian must continually aspire. David was no longer on the milk of the Word, in other words. But he had advanced and he had progressed to the strong meat. And so this psalm does reveal this whole matter of advancing and growing and developing in that particular way. There are three things I just want to leave with you quickly tonight. First of all, I want you to notice David's contentment. And I take you now to verse 1, because the whole psalm is built around those last words of verse 2, my soul is even as a weaned child. And as we think about the psalm carefully, you will see how everything else is built around that. And so go to verse 1, and there we see David's contentment. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Now that verse does ring with contentment. And therefore, David was a man who had a soul like a weaned child. When a child is weaned from the milk, there is contentment with the next stage of life. And that's what David is saying here. And he says it in this particular way, as you have it there in verse number 1. David had a soul filled with contentment, with God's will for his life, with God's word in his heart, with what the Lord was teaching him and was showing him. And therefore, he can say this, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things too high for me. There's a series of negatives there, as you can see in verse number 1. And together, the terms signify the contentment of David's soul. He was not governed or not moved by pride. He says, my heart is not haughty. The point is, brethren and sisters, if we have souls like a weaned child, we will have moved away from childishness. And the mark of childishness is pride. And we've got to understand that. Even a little child that's at that stage in life when it's not maybe yet weaned or just approaching being weaned can be very proud and very haughty even, and in its own way of demonstrating that. And David is showing us here that he had overcome haughtiness and pride. And so he was not governed by pride or selfish ambition. He says here, nor mine eyes lofty. And then he goes on to say, or in things, neither do I exercise myself in great matters and things too high for me. In other words, he wasn't looking for a name for himself, wanted to draw attention to himself, or delve into mysteries forbidden by Almighty God. And so the first verse shows that David has moved on, and a mark of moving on is contentment, putting away those things that are really childish and immature, and that are the evidence of a situation where spiritual growth is stunted. It is not really developed at all. Now, the source of that contentment actually lay in the state of David's heart. Go back to verse 1 and just think about those words again. Lord, my heart is not haughty. That's not a boast. In David's case, obviously as he writes by inspiration of the Spirit, this is not a boast. My heart is not haughty or proud. He can appeal to God. That's what he's really doing here. Lord, you know my heart. And really what David is saying is, my heart is a heart of humility. Because that's the opposite of haughtiness. He says, my heart is not haughty. And actually, as I've just said, God saw David's heart. And therefore, God could verify that David's heart was not haughty, which means that it was a humble heart. And that, my friend, is perhaps the chief evidence of having a soul that's like a weaned child, where there is humility, where there's a conquering of self-will, an overcoming of that nature that actually demonstrates itself in the littlest child. Never the child wants its own way. When the child will actually demonstrate very early resentment against authority, that's the sign of pride. Well, as a child grows and develops, and actually at that weaned stage, that stage where it's then weaned, it becomes more content with, as it's well trained and properly brought up, it will demonstrate that there's progress, there's development. And that's what David is saying here. And therefore he can appeal to the Lord, to the eye of God, that his heart was not haughty, it was rather a heart of humility. You see, my dear friend, the grace of humility is present when there's a true sense of sin. And what is it that brings humility? It's an awareness of the sinfulness of the heart. And therefore, it's a heart that's possessed with a focus upon the Lord and His forgiveness. That will become the thought in the believer's mind, the one who's got a soul like a weaned child. This is my chief possession. My sins are all forgiven. I am guilty by nature, guilty by my transgressions. But once the Lord begins to work on the heart and there's a weaning and there's a development, then there will be that consciousness that I am now forgiven, I belong to the Lord, and that brings contentment. And that's an evidence of growth and grace. David could say in another place, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. And you see, the source of this contentment is just this. It is the heart of man that has been humbled by God through a sense of sin and the need for forgiveness and progression in the great doctrines of redemption and all the blessings of God's covenant grace and a love for those things, a desire for those truths involving one's heart and mind deeply and richly in what the Lord has revealed in His Word, with regard to what He does for us, what He gives to us, what He bestows upon us freely by His grace. And that will prevent haughtiness. That will deal with pride. That will generate humility. That will give contentment. That's a soul that is weaned away to a great degree from all that sin does and all that sin has brought upon the soul of man. The sign of the contentment, not only the source of it, the heart that is aware of God's mercy, and there's no haughtiness there, there is nothing but humility there, but the sign of this contentment is in the next words, where he says, nor mine eyes lofty. Notice the order here. Where there's a haughty heart, there are lofty eyes. The word lofty there means lifted up. And we should notice the order here. In keeping with his heart stated, it wasn't a haughty heart. Therefore, David's eyes were not eyes lifted up. And what that means is, therefore, his eyes were downcast. He's like that publican in the temple. Remember him in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, where it talks about the publican who has come to a sense of his sin and his guilt before God. And it tells us he not only stood afar off with this awareness, I'm not worthy to come before God. But he stood afar off, and he could not lift up his eyes to heaven. His eyes were downcast. You see, where there's haughtiness and pride in the heart, then there is this loftiness also within that soul, within that individual. And what we need to notice here is that, as David says, are mine eyes lofty, he's very conscious that the Lord hates pride. The Bible says that. In Proverbs chapter 6, you can read this sometime, verses 16 and 17, it refers to seven things that the Lord hates. And the first of them is this, a proud look. If you see a haughty person, what will you see? You'll see a person strutting about with his or her eyes lifted up or with his whole demeanor and whole disposition, giving all the evidence of pride and haughtiness. And there will be a proud look about that person. And that's a fact of life. And we see this all the time. Men of the world. And they're haughty in heart. And they have this demeanor about them that is filled with a sense of, as they say it, of their own worth and their own value. They've got a proud look about them. And you see, that's natural to man. That's the state of the human heart. You see, pride was the very first sin ever was committed. The sin of Satan. When he lifted up himself against God and had a lofty thought about himself and said, I will ascend to the throne of God and I will be ruler over all things. That was pride in the devil's heart, and that brought about his fall, and that brought about the fall of man. Let me tell you something. Pride is at the base of every sin. A haughty heart, a proud look. But you see, David by grace had experienced the weaning process, where he realized that pride is the mother of all sins, and that pride had to be crucified. And therefore, as he was dealt with by God, and as he was weaned away from his life of sin, this is what he can say about his contentment of what the Lord was doing in his life. My heart's not haughty, my eyes are not lofty. And then notice the next words, because really I've got a sequel there at the end of verse number 1. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. And what that means is he did not seek human greatness. Now David, in the providence of God, was a great man, spiritually speaking. And he did great things for God. Even as a youth, as he attended the father's flock in the field. Imagine this. The bear and the lion came. And we know we tell that story to our children. And sometimes we get so used to it that we think it only is a story. Some kind of a fairy story, if you want to make it really plain. But it's not that. This really happened. He was attending the flock. The lion came. The bear came. Took the lamb from the flock. And David went and he smote those animals and he plucked the little lamb out of the mouth of the lion. He actually did that. Now that took courage. I don't think any of us here tonight would like to face a lion or a bear and try to rescue a little lamb. David actually did it. And so he did that great thing. He slew Goliath. What a mighty act that was. And again, he was only a stripling, only a youth. And remember how they actually sang about him. David has slain his 10,000s. Such a warrior, such a mighty man for God in the field of battle. He wrote so many of the Psalms. His fellowship with God. David truly was a great man. And yet when he says here, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me, what he means is this, that all the greatness that God gave him in those areas I've just mentioned was all subject to the spiritual greatness that David had, so that he was content with what God had showed him and God gave to him and God revealed to him. When he says here, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me, what he's talking about there or writing about there, it's what men are still doing. They're not content with the Word. They're not content with what God has said. In their haughtiness, in their lofty thoughts about themselves, they actually believe that they know more than God, or that they can discover things that nobody else has ever discovered, and they delve into realms that are actually forbidden by God. You know, the Bible speaks of that very, very often, about haughty, proud men in the religious world and the spiritual field of things who are continually delving into matters that God has forbidden completely. Read the book of Colossians, and you have it there as an example, where Paul writes of false teachers afflicting or damaging the Colossian church, looking into things that God had forbidden. The unseen world, for example. The whole realm of angels and so on. And God has said very little about even that realm. There is such a realm, the angels and the unseen world, but God has put a veil over it. And He tells us not to pry into it. But man in his pride thinks that he can go beyond the boundaries. And you know, every Christian needs to be aware of that. And be on guard against that. If we're content, if we have got souls like a weaned child, our hearts will be humble. That's what we're seeing here. Furthermore, there will be a sign of it. We'll not have that high thought of ourselves, lofty eyes. And we will not be delving into realms that God has said, these are forbidden to you. You know what the Lord says through Moses? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed are for us and our children. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. What a verse that is. If you get a man, a Bible teacher so-called, who starts to tell his congregation, I have found out the date of the Lord's coming. And umpteen men have done that. What are you hearing there? You're hearing what David is condemning in verse 1. They have got haughty hearts, they've got lofty eyes, and they're exercising themselves in matters and in high things that God has forbidden. And that's just one example. That's a very clear, prime example. And it illustrates the point very well. What you and I want to have is a true spiritual greatness. But it's a greatness, true spiritual greatness is a greatness that is immersed in what God has said through His Word. And God's Word is finished, and there's no more revelation being given. And we must be content with it and thank God for it. What a blessing to have the Bible. What a privilege to have the Word of God in our hands. This book that is divinely given, given by the breath of the Holy Ghost. And brethren and sisters, the whole point is the church does not need anything else but this. Therefore, let us not go beyond the boundary of Scripture. Or let us not import into the Word of God something that is not there. But be content. David's contentment, that's what he's saying here. My soul is even as a weaned child. When a child is weaned, as I said earlier, that child is content with the life that's developing and the food that is being given and so forth and is progressing and growing. And that's what we want to be like spiritually, content with the things that the Lord has given to us. And then look at David's conduct very quickly. Verse 2 again, he says at the start of the verse, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. And when he says that again, the language signifies that he's actually saying, God knows that I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. And so, when you think about what David is saying there in the first part of verse 2, it does refer to his conduct. Look at the word behaved. I have behaved, quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. Now, mothers in the congregation, you will know that it's a real battle to wean the child. I've never had to do it. I let my wife do all those things. But weaning the child, getting away from the milk, is a battle. And yet, once the child is taken on to food that is for that stage to which it has come, then the conduct that was there shortly before when they were gurning and complaining and crying and wanting to stay in the milk, that conduct disappears. And they begin to realize this solid food is really good and so forth. And that's the kind of thought that David has here. He's talking about having become a man who behaved himself, quieted himself as a child that was weaned of his mother. In other words, he's talking here about his mind being calm and level. I just want to pause and let that sink in. Do you want to see a Christian who has grown and is growing? Then you will see a person who has got what we can rightly call sanctified common sense. A person who is behaving himself or herself in the manner that's described here. I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. Notice those two verbs, behaved and quieted. Where you have got a person who is going on through the whole weaning process, and that's something that we as Christians need all the time, been weaned more and more away from the flesh, weaned more and more away from the world, weaned more and more away from self, self-will, self-importance, etc., etc. When that is true, then we will behave ourselves and we will quieten ourselves as a child that is weaned of his mother. And I often think about this because it does show in Scripture how true this is. A mark of spiritual growth is level-headedness. Not jumping about to this thing and that thing. Some novelty. Isn't it amazing how many who profess to be the Lord's people will do that? Something new comes down the road and they jump on the bandwagon. And they jump on without any thought, without any consideration, without really thinking this thing through, and they end up in trouble. They end up maybe in spiritual shipwreck. And that's an evidence that they have not grown in grace. Because where there's growth in grace, then there will be what David is talking about here. He says, I have behaved myself in this manner that he describes. A mind that is calm, a mind that is honed more and more from its abrasiveness and its roughness, and there's tranquility and there's peace of thought and behavior and character, and there's a putting away of childishness. Remember how Paul wrote about that, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 11? Just look at that verse with me. It's a powerful verse. It's one that we should look at a lot and really get into our minds and our souls. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I was weaned, I put away childish things. And so there's the physical dimension there. A child obviously will speak and understand and think as a child does. But when that child is weaned and begins to grow and develop, then childish things will be put away. That's what David is saying, brethren and sisters. That marked his conduct. He was striving for maturity, for this growth, this development. And you know, we are praying about elders being added to our session. And here are marks that are certainly true, or should be true of every Christian. But most certainly, they must be true of a man who will be a ruling elder in Christ's church, where he's weaned away from childishness. A childish attitude, wanting his own way, flying into a tantrum because he doesn't get it. That man is not fit to be an elder. Let's make that absolutely clear. And so, this psalm is a powerful psalm. It has so much application. And may the Lord write these thoughts in our hearts. Just one final thing, because I want to come to a close here. David's confidence. Look at verse number 3. Notice how he ends in this psalm. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And there's the thought of confidence. Hoping in the Lord. And the one who is weaned spiritually pursues the Christian life and the Lord with confidence. The fact there is of not being hasty, not being impetuous, but who's really waiting on the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Hoping in the Lord is synonymous with waiting on the Lord. Patience. And looking to the Lord to guide and to lead and direct. Not running ahead. He's a little child that's still not weaned, or a little one in early years. Isn't that true? They run ahead all the time. You notice sometimes that parents have to put reins on them to try to hold them in, keep them from running away. I'm not going down that road tonight, but you've seen this. There's something tragically wrong there. If the parent cannot speak and check the child without putting a set of reins on that child, there's something just not right. But what I'm saying is, we're not to be like that spiritually. Running ahead of the Lord, instead of hoping in Him, waiting in Him, trusting in Him, but acting in a manner that's demonstrated by that kind of language. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. It's tied into verse 2. My soul is even as a weaned child. Just one closing verse in Lamentations 3. The verse number 26. Lamentations 3. And verse number 26. It's very relevant to what we're seeing here. It says, Lamentations 3, verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, the mark of Christ's church is that there's a waiting on God. The mark of spiritual progress is waiting, looking, trusting, hoping, not running ahead, not allowing the flesh to come in and take over, but rather just simply waiting on God, because He alone can do what needs to be done, and looking to Him and crying to Him for His blessing and His help and His power in our lives and in the work of Jesus Christ. And so may the Lord write His word in our hearts tonight. I've gone through these verses with you tonight just to give you some idea, an overview of this psalm. And I trust and pray that we will pray it into our hearts, and that we will all be what David demonstrates and expresses here. My soul is even as a weaned child. You pray, dear Christian, that the Lord will mature you and grow you and develop you more and more and more, and have you to be like the weaned child. Can we just have a word of prayer before we come to a few announcements? Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the word that we've considered tonight. We think of our Savior. And we know, Lord, that He was without sin. And yet it does tell us that He grew in wisdom and in favor with God and men. And Lord, we pray for that Christ-likeness. We think of Samuel, who had those very words said of him. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt come upon our hearts, our souls, and may there be a weaning of us away from the world, away from the flesh, away from those matters that are not Thy will. And, O God, may we be marked by waiting on God and looking to Thee, and having a heart for those things that are holy and godly and for the good of God's work. Lord, come and teach us Thy will and work in our hearts, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, and for His sake and for His glory. Amen.